brought something in to read.
Is it in here somewhere?
No, it's
here.
In.
I need to read this one.
Oh, okay. We have one announcement from the closed session. The board, by a unanimous roll call vote, passed resolution number, whichever the resolution is, will be numbered, 2015-16-12, release non-reelection of temporary certificated employees and authorizing the superintendent or her designee to issue the proper notices. Student rep to the board. Oh, nice hat, too.
Our January meeting to address student questions and concerns about facilities. Last month, LHS was able to gather over 1,400 cans for the So You Can Foundation Canned Food Drive. Our CSF Club, Interact Club, and Leadership will be working with So You Can December 17th through 19th to put together meals and gifts for needy families in our community. This week, the LHS Leadership Class is making preparations for the Winter Homecoming and the Winter Ball. The Winter Homecoming is being held on January 15th and the Winter Ball on January 16th. They're having an ugly Christmas sweater contest next week on the 17th. Contestants will be judged and a winner will be chosen during lunch and receive a special Christmas gift. Next week is also when their students volunteer to help the So You Can charity with their holiday turkey donations. Students will be at the Moose Lodge making packages to give to needy families the 17th through the 19th. Future business includes finishing preparations for the upcoming Winter Homecoming, Winter Ball, and their BMA rally. From Marysville, our freshman class is selling See's candy for a fundraiser, and our student store is having a winter sale, so with every purchase of a sweatshirt and jacket, you will receive a free water bottle and a t-shirt. December 26th, we had student volunteers go to the Elks Lodge and feed those in need for Thanksgiving. And there were a lot of participants, so that was really fun. November 30th, the boys and girls had a basketball game. December 1st, student council had a fundraiser through Panda Express for grad night. December 1st through the 11th, our leadership class has seasons of giving. We have an angel tree, and we have a tree set up in our student store, and you pick a family and you have to buy presents for them. And then we have a sham drive, which is scarves, hats, and mittens, and you donate used or clean ones. We do care home cards for the elderly people at Prestige, and then we have a Toys for Tots in our library. December 7th through the 11th, we have dress up for holiday spirit. Yesterday was red or green day. Today is holiday sweater. Wednesday is Frosty Day, which you wear white and blue. Thursday is Stoplight Day. Friday is Orange and Black. December 1st through the 16th, our Interact Club is holding a toiletry drive, so you bring shampoos and conditioners and necessities that the homeless people don't have. December 4th, our Mecha Club sold burritos after school from 3:30 to 5 for a fundraiser. December 9th, there will be a small business art show in our cafeteria from 6 to 7. Free cookies will be provided, and they will be selling pizza. December 10th through the 12th, our boys will be having a tournament in our gym. December 11th, transitions will be having hot cocoa, candy canes, and a movie in Miss Eshman's room for all of the freshmen, and Orange Nation will be selling t-shirts at the basketball game. December 16th, wrestling has a match at 6 o'clock in our gym. December 18th, the staff will be having a holiday party, and from December 21st to the January 8th, we'll be having our winter break.
And since this is your last meeting with us, we would really like to thank you for being here. And the board and I have a plaque for you, which says, Thank you for your outstanding service to the Marysville Joint Unified School District Board of Trustees, serving as the student representative for the first semester of the 2015-16 school year. Your willingness to attend the board meetings to update the Board of Trustees on activities at the various school sites is greatly appreciated. So thank you, and best of luck in all of your future endeavors.
Thank you.
Yeah, don't forget your name. There. Okay. All right. Okay, that brings us to the presentation, Marysville High School Agricultural Literacy, Bonnie McGill.
Good evening.
You've really changed.
Good evening. Instead of my teacher and FFA advisor opening up, we decided a graduate would open up today. I graduated in June, and Mrs. McGill brought me back because I have sparked an interest in becoming an elementary teacher because of how much ag literacy I've done alongside with her. So thank you for letting us present in advance. So what I'm going to do is just run through with you what we do. So what we are a high school agricultural education program. We are also the leader organization of the Future Farmers of America. We have 2,080 students that are 9th through 12th grade, and we're a small community of 12,000 residents. We provide ag literacy opportunities to 17 primary and middle schools. We teach agricultural education to K through eighth grade using their curriculum along with meeting Common Core standards. We get to do peer-on-peer mentoring as well. The mentors learn various things. We learn verbal and written communication skills. The mentees, or the students that we teach, they learn about agricultural industries, environmental sciences, and natural resources, while also doing hands-on interactive labs. So where do 2,000 third graders go the first Friday of every October? Farm Day. What we do is we have various booths, and this is actually one of the booths. I am presenting in one of these. And here's a video.
I'm you.
Okay, so today what we're going to do is we're going to propagate our plant. Basically what we're going to do is we're going to make this geranium into something bigger, okay? And it's gonna have identical DNA to its mama, okay? So what we're gonna do is I want you to make a hole in your soil. And then I want you to look for a node that's gonna sprout out roots. And I want you to stick it in the soil. If you have one that looks like this, put it in sideways. Just put it in sideways, just like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sideways.
You were right. She was listening.
So just like that. Okay. Okay. So this. Okay. Does everybody's look like this?
Yes.
Okay. This is what it looks like now. When it starts blooming, it's going to look like this.
And if they're not,
these are the little flowers that are going to start sprouting. So if you water them every day and they have sunlight, this is what it will look like. So on the count of three, I want you guys to say the same thing I do. It'll help your guys' flower grow, okay? We're going to say grow, baby, grow, okay? One, two, three.
Grow, baby, grow!
The video was a little delayed. here are a few pictures of the various booths that we have. This booth, we have a couple of students teaching the importance of timber, since it is one of our 10 top commodities in California. Or no, just kidding, just here. And here, students are teaching the third graders about the difference between meat sheep and wool sheep, as well as others. And I'll pass it on to my teammate.
Hi, my name is Alex Hall, and I'm going to be telling you about the teaching at Kynoch and the experiences we had there. What we do with this is we go every December, and we go in and we teach 20 to 30 students, second grade to fourth grade, and we teach them through our environmental science and other things. We get to do top 10 commodities in this local area. We can do anything from environmental science to the food chain and things like that, and just some pictures of it. And the great thing about our what we do here is, because there's 20 to 30 students and there's four of us that go down there, there's a lot more one-on-one, so that students really do take stuff home with them and take it to their knowledge to learn what we teach them when we go there. Like in this picture in the bottom right corner, we have kids learning about lumber, which is one of the top 10 commodities in this area. And we have, on the top right, we have a student teaching other students. It's more of a one-on-one action with them. And with this one, you can learn vocab, you do English, math, science, even some history with it. And it's a lot of one-on-one, hands-on experiences. There's a lot of activities that we do when we do it. Like, there's some ice cream making going on. There's, like, other, you make your own stuff, take it home with you. It's a really fun experience for most of the kids. I really like it, though, because, like, when the kids, you can see it in their faces that they're really getting into it because of the one-on-one. It's more hands-on. They can ask questions. We answer them there, and they really do love it.
Hi, I'm Kyla, and this is Lupe. We have been contacted by Arboga and Cedar Lane the last 2 years to come and teach to the first and second graders. Throughout the day, we are teaching the new generation the science standards. We're there for the day. Presenting to the classes about the agriculture science.
Okay. Well, we help them teach about the different genetic traits, about science and animals, like the different plants and then the animals as well. And then once they get free time, like, or after lunch to go outside to our stations, we teach them different genetics about plants and about Eli, our miniature horse, or the chickens, or the bunnies. For example, whenever we have the bunnies, we'll explain to them like the genetic traits about why some bunnies have straight up ears or floppy ears and why that happens. We will also quiz them on it. And then we just hope that more elementary schools take advantage of our lessons and what we have to offer. These are just more different things that we teach as well.
Hello, I'm Jeffrey, and every year we have National Ag Day in March. All agriculture students come out and make booths, exhibits, a lot of different colleges from the area, industries locally come out. All these activities are put together for recognition of National Ag Day. This year, it will be held on March 16th, and we'd like to invite you guys out to come experience the booths and visit with all the local colleges and other things.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Taylor Howell. When we had received our original Ag Literacy Grant, we had a visitor from the California Teachers Association come out to watch our students teach at Kynoch. He was so impressed with our students' teaching that he had invited us this past February to the Good Teaching North Conference in San Jose. We have been going to this conference for 2 years now, and we put on a workshop there where we give our teachers input on using, like, having them teach about ag literacy in their classrooms. And last year we had taught 4 workshops at the conference. Mrs. McGill helped us not only organize our presentation, but we as the students were the ones that gave the presentation at the conference. Since we did, well, out of the entire conference, we were the only students there that were teaching among all of the other teachers. Since we had done so well teaching at that conference this past February, we hope to get invited back next year in April to the conference. And whenever we weren't teaching at our workshops, we were here at this table inside of the conference teaching about agriculture and all the commodities and everything that the teachers can do when teaching about agriculture.
Hello, and I'm Tia Schultz. So last winter, we received a small ag grant for California. It was taste testing and lessons with nutrients and produce. A group of 18 students taught 180 seventh and eighth graders 6 lessons on nutrition, utilizing fresh produce, and making healthy choices. This year, we received an additional $500 ag incentive grant for the classroom to continue those lessons. We have also applied to the Nutrients for Life for a $2,000 grant that incorporates for the value of fertilizer and providing crops for healthy choices and nutrition. So check out this video that I have to show you that shows you guys how we did our taste testing, evaluating the sweet and sourness and the pH levels with our litmus paper.
I want you to know that it's our time. You and me lead the safe life. I'm better under your reflection. But did you know, did you know, did you know, no, that's any.
That was our last video.
Hi, my name is Monica Rowell, and I'm going to be talking to you guys about Nature Bowl. 2 years ago, we approached third grade teachers at Kynoch to see who might be interested in starting a Nature Bowl team. Mrs. Buck volunteered her third grade class, and these third graders stayed 2 days a week after school to learn about the environmental science in the 4 Northern California regions. They became proficient in science vocabulary, problem solving, and teamwork. They competed as a team in an all-day competition. Last year, we worked with these same students as a fourth grade team. Thank you, Mr. Harris, for helping us get the students to Placer Nature Center. We are actually, I'm actually going to tell you guys what we plan on doing for next year. We plan on having, working with our same 5th and 6th grade team as we did with the previous 2 years, and we plan on starting a new 3rd grade team. So I'm going to be training new students this year, as in my high school grade, to continue on because it's my senior year, and I'm going to finish out with the students I continued with last year. But we are actually going to have a quick game. It's called Bell Ringers, and I'm going to need 3 volunteers for this. No volunteers? Has been in the 2 previous years. She has done reports with us, and she has made it to all the competitions. And her name's Chloe Triplett, and she's a 5th grader. And you can come up. She's a 5th grader in Mrs. Llewellyn's class. So she is going to talk to you guys about what her presentation is.
Hi, my name is Chloe, and I'm going to be talking about wildfires. On average, more than 100,000 wildfires clear 4 to 5 million acres a year. 4 out of 5 wildfires are started by people. Wildfires move up to 14 miles an hour, consuming everything in its path. This includes trees, flowers, brush, animals, and houses. There are 3 conditions that need to be presentation in order for a wildfire to burn. Firefighters refer to it as a triangle fuel oxygen and heat source. Dry weather and droughts convert green vegetation. Strong winds spread fire quickly over land. Warm temperature combustion. Wildfires are harmful to habitats for animals, their homes, and food. Thank you.
Does anybody have any questions, comments, concerns? No? Thank you for letting us come out here and speak in front of all you guys. We really had an amazing time. Thank you.
Actually, I do have just a comment. We just came back from the school board's conference, and a lot of the sessions that I attended was dealing with student engagement and trying to get students involved in classroom activities, maybe through a linked learning opportunity or project-based learning. And what you kids are doing right here is just wonderful. Mrs. McGill, I want to commend you for everything that you're doing with kids. The more you can involve the kids in getting to teach others, you can truly tell that the students know their material. So, again, I take my hat off to you. You did a great job. Thank you.
Okay, next we have the school report from our Boga Elementary School. He's got it, though. He's got him in the wings.
Does that work? Yeah. Before I start, I'd like Mr. Rasmussen, I'd like to commend MHS, FFA, and Bonnie McGill. They, as they mentioned, they've come out to Arboga each of the last 2 years. Last year, it was just our first grade, and the first graders liked it so much, they begged their second grade teachers to have them come out again, so we had first and second this year. So they do an incredible job. So, Yeah, they come on Fridays, so we buy them the cafeteria pizza. So, Amber Watson, are you listening? It's all good. really quickly, you should have in your board report, you have the actual report that I wrote. This basically what I'm attempting here is to do something that our fourth, fifth, and sixth graders are being taught to do, and that is to use newer technology. So I am going to apologize at first because we teach our kids not to do a whole bunch of text. And unfortunately, this presentation is very text dense. It should have more images, but I am learning like our fourth, fifth, and sixth graders are. This is a program called Prezi. It's a presentation tool, much like PowerPoint, but it's kind of like PowerPoint on steroids. So really quickly, Arboga Elementary School, our theme this year is I Am Arboga, and it is the first time in 9 years that we've repeated a theme. We try to pick a theme every year that to focus our school t-shirts, our Cougar Guide, which is our handbook, etc., and find a quote that matches it or helps push that forward. And we really liked the idea of I Am Arboga, representing that students are a part of something more than just their school. They're a part of their classroom, their community, their families, etc. So we extended it out, and we changed the graphic, and we changed the quote, so it's not totally being lazy, say it that way. Our quote this year is, individually, we are one drop. Together, we are an ocean. And I think, I can't pronounce this guy's name, I apologize, but his quote is powerful, and it's basically kind of like FFA's theme, many hands make light work, correct? See, I was at the high school for a long time. It's the same type of thing. It takes a village to raise a child, etc. It's true. There's no one person that shines the brightest. As a team together, we make it happen. And so each of these pages is basically kind of like one of the drops in the ocean. And really quickly, as I talk about this page, I would like to ask Mrs. Deanna Wiseman and some students from Arboga to come up and set up. They're going to actually play a song for us. Thanks to the LCAP this year, we've been able to do some nice additions to our school. We have, for the first time in 7 years, 8 years, we have PE specialists back, and we have Jeff Griffin at our site. We share him with Olivehurst Elementary. Sorry, I had to think about that. And so our fourth, fifth, and sixth grade students are all treated to actual, true, organized PE being taught by him. And then something that we have that the community has been incredibly hungry for is music. And so we share Mrs. Deanna Wiseman with Cedar Lane Elementary and Johnson Park. And so she does music, basic musicality with all of our kindergarten and first graders. She's getting ready to do recorders with all of our second and third graders. And then we have elective music and band, or excuse me, choir and band for our fourth, fifth, and sixth graders. And so she's brought with her tonight Dawson Lay, fifth grader, Sophia Walter, fourth grader, Zion Johnson, sixth grader, Matthew Stewart, fifth grader, Damian Murray, sixth grader, and Christopher Raya, fourth grader, to show you a little bit of what they've done. And none of these students played an instrument before this year. One thing that Mrs. Wiseman wanted to make sure I said was that if it wasn't for the support of the LCAP funding for this, there would be students who have talent left untapped, you know, potential left untapped, and so it is wonderful. I know that's just one song, but really quickly, there were at the beginning of this year, we had over 51% of our 4th, 5th, and 6th graders participating in choir or band. That number has dropped a little because we make it so that they have to actually be caught up on their work, et cetera, to participate. But we're still well above 40% of our 4th, 5th, and 6th graders. So that's a huge amount of kids to be touched by something like that. PTSO and community partnerships are huge. There would be so much left undone without their help. Our PTSO are tireless fundraisers. I know Ryan's probably sick of hearing about this project. I know I am, but I'm super happy to make it happen, or to be a part of helping make it happen. Our PTSO raised over $22,000 towards a $35,000 play structure, which is I think we got a 40% discount. It's actually closer to $60,000 play structure that will be installed this June. So there's been a lot of people involved in that. Ryan DiGiulio, Cynthia Jensen, Scott Lane, Travis Barnett, whole bunch of people. And so it's just, it's nice to see when people work together, good things happen. Again, it's many hands make light work. Also, VermaCore. Debbie Jones is a fifth grade teacher at our school this year. And Pete Jeffrey, years ago when we had the garden grant, Pete made a garden happen on our campus. He then left us for Ella, and Debbie Jones was like, hey, I'll take it over. So she took it over, and then this year we've actually doubled it. This right after school started, Debbie, her husband, and her uncle came in and doubled the garden, building 5 additional raised flower beds. And Vermacrop, who was in our community, they're out by the airport, donated a huge truck bed full of rich soil that filled all 5 of those new beds, plus the 3 existing ones that are roughly the size of this table, if not a little bit bigger. We started last year a girls group called Fawn Owl Fridays. It has had a lot of success, and so this year we've been able to introduce a boys group called Fortify. Both groups focus on self-esteem, decision-making, getting along with others, etc. In the board packet, there should be a notebook or a workbook that Anthony Nelson, who is our STAR site lead and actually runs the boys group for us, he put that together. It's amazing. And the kids, as they're working through that, they're going to definitely build some skills that will help them. The girls group, Penny Halcombe made a book last year. I think I shared that last year. I'm not sure. I know I shared it with a lot of people. I don't know if you guys got it or not, but it's a very similar type book. This year, we're switching up our girls group we're focusing after January on women from the community who have either overcome things or who are in positions of power to come and talk to the girls and let them know, hey, life gets better. There's all kinds of stuff. You know, you're 10, you're 11, you're 12. It gets better. So we want to show them some positives. We've reached out. I believe Scotia Sanchez is going to come and speak. We've reached out to Danny Trujillo, who is now known as Danny Pirro, who's a singer and a graduate of MCAA. She may or may not be able to make it. I'm hoping she is, but don't know. So we've reached out to about 12 people, hoping we can get 6 to come speak to them. And then it culminates in a high tea, which is an idea kind of stolen from Kynox tea. But we had my mother-in-law, who was from Ireland, bring out and bake all the stuff for a traditional high tea, and the girls drink it out of real china. And it's kind of fun. Cougar Kids Leadership is something that we started last year in order to get the kids ready more for middle and high school and to get them involved and active. We started this program. It's an application program, and the students are let in based on teacher recommendation, grades, and behavior. And this year, it just really ramped up, and it's so much better. Our kids are working with, they're participating as well with the So You Can Food Drive. They've helped with recycling. They were speakers. They put on skits at our kindness/anti-bullying week. They lead the Pledge of Allegiance at assemblies. They went around to every classroom and talked to the kids and presented samples of the playground to get student input. They were incredibly articulate about it and were able to let the kids pick which one we wanted. They also went around and did the holiday shop and explained that to all the kids and showed them. So these kids are truly doing a service. The program is overseen by Anthony Nelson directly, and then Christy Ellison Cherry, a sixth grade teacher, Angela Holt, a kindergarten teacher, and Michelle Walker, a parent, are also helping with that quite a bit. PBIS, another thing we have to thank the district for. We're year one this year in the PBIS planning. Our team is a phenomenal team. Angela Holt, kindergarten teacher, Sunshine Harlow, first grade teacher, Hannah DeForest, second grade teacher, Debbie Warner, third grade, Nicole Robertson, fourth grade, Debbie Jones, fifth, Christy Cherry, sixth, Penny Halcomb, who's our student support specialist, and Anna Mitchell, who's a parent, have been attending the trainings. We're working right now on all the forms, revising our discipline plan and getting ready to do the videos. Actually, Debbie Warner shot the videos with her third graders. And so we're getting ready to show those to our students in January, and we're excited about the prospects that PBIS will bring. New things this year that we're really excited about, and actually I have someone in the audience. I wasn't going to embarrass her, but I will in a minute. We've hired two paras to provide ELA interventions to grades 1 through 6, as well as for our very limited English-speaking students. And Miss Janelle Walter, who is sitting here, her daughter Sophia was one of the flute players, has just recently been hired as one of the paras. Janelle is bilingual, and we have a family that moved into our school, a fifth and sixth grade girl who came knowing hello. That was about it. They knew no other English. And thankfully Janelle speaks Spanish, and so she's working with them 45 minutes a day on conversation and then working, transitioning into leapfrogs, tag readers, et cetera, to try to build their language arts skills, and we'll be getting them, hopefully, ready to tackle grade level stuff. We created a new intervention SST process specifically for this daytime intervention, and we'll be adding after school tutoring to it as well after January. So what that means is we'll be having, in addition to teachers tutoring their kids, we'll be having some of the students that need it the most getting additional tutoring from paras after school. Lastly, really quickly, I wanted to hit up some people from the school that have a history with the school to just share a little bit about their thoughts. And so they were asked, when you think of Arboga Elementary, sum it up in a sentence or two, what thoughts come to you? And Shannon Levesque, both of her daughters went through Arboga. One graduated from MCAA and the other's a junior at MCAA right now. And Shannon has worked in five different positions in our district. Currently our attendance clerk stated, Arboga has always felt like family or home to me. Whether as an employee or parent, it's always warm and inviting, and the staff always goes above and beyond. Dave Gothrow is a Linda fireman. And I asked Dave, and he said, I attended Arboga first through fifth grades from 1973 to 1978. The teachers back then took pride in the children and the school, which made my parents happy. I chose to send my son Caleb to Arboga from 2007 to 2014 for the same reasons, and was happy to find that the teachers and staff still had the same pride and discipline like they did when I went to school. They care about the student. And then lastly, I asked Nicole Robertson, who is a teacher. She was hired. I had the luxury of hiring her based off of a video interview she did with Romero. And she's in her ninth year at Arboga. And she said, Arboga is an academically rigorous school where staff put student needs first. Our community is very supportive and helps when we are in need. We try to balance school culture with academic achievement and think we do a good job with that. So in a nutshell, that is our presentation for Arboga this year. If you have any questions, I am definitely ready to answer.
I just have a comment. We've done your carnival for the Lions Club, I think, 9 years now, mm-hmm. and you have a lot of parent engagement. And to have a highly successful school, you have to have parents engaged. Mm-hmm. And I've watched the parents grow over the last mm-hmm. 9 years, and I was amazed at this last carnival, the parents you had there, and how they worked with us and helped us, and all the things they said about our Arboga school. They were very, very proud, mm-hmm. and you could see it. So you got a lot to be proud of.
It takes a village. It's an incredible place. And little did I know, and Dr. Todd knows this, when I went out there, I wasn't planning on staying. I was planning on being there a year or two and leaving. Yeah. And I have fallen in love. So, yeah. Yeah, our fall festival this year, we grossed over $10,000. And that's we've never done that. And so out of that $10,000 gross, about $9,200 was net profit. Because those parents are tireless fundraisers. Yeah.
I want to compliment you, too, on the service clubs that you invite out to mm-hmm. see the flag raising and have the kids actually perform. Mm-hmm. It's neat for people to go out and see what you're contributing back to the community for the kids.
Thank you for that. We've changed that this year. We're still doing it, but instead of me getting up and blah, 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 because it's boring and I know it is, we tasked this year each grade level. I did the first one, and each grade level is responsible for doing an assembly for the subsequent ones. And so they've done, third grade did a flash mob where the kids came out from everywhere and sang a patriotic song. First grade had a song complete with hats that all the kids made and decorated. So we are continuing that, trying to honor and thank the people from our community, showing the kids, again, the theme, I am Arboga. They're a part of something greater than themselves. So, and we stole that idea from Kovalad and from Kynoch, so I can't take full credit for it.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right. It's time for the annual organizational meeting of the Board of Trustees. I'm going to read this. It's a formality, but I think it's important. The board took action at the 11-17-15 board meeting that the annual organizational meeting would be held on 12-8, which is today, at 5:30 p.m., which we're still in that frame hour. The law requires that the board elect a president and a clerk from its members. The board should also elect a vice president, trustee representative to the Special Education Council. The superintendent presides over the election of the president. The new president presides over the remaining elections and assumes responsibility of the meeting at that time. So at this point, I'm going to turn the meeting over to our superintendent.
Well, thank you, Mr. Ricks. Couple of things that I'd like to review with the board, because this is just an annual activity, and sometimes we kind of forget some of the ground rules and how we move forward with electing our president. So let me refresh all of our memories. So the process for nomination of officers, there is not a second to nominate a person to stand for election. So once someone makes a nomination, no one needs to say, I second that, which is not typical for when we make motions. So I wanted to make sure you knew that. After each nomination, the board member nominated will accept or decline. A motion is not made to close nominations, which we often do for other activities. And after all nominations have been made and the person nominated accepts or declines the nomination, then a motion for the first nominated candidate will take place. The first nomination that receives the majority vote in the affirmative is elected to the position, and no further votes will be taken on the remaining nominations. So you can have multiple nominations, but I will start with the first nomination, we'll take a vote, and if the majority of the vote votes for that person to become, in this case, president, then I won't go through the subsequent names. So with that, we will begin with the election of president, and I will open the floor for nominations for the office of president.
I nominate Bernie to do another year.
So Mr. Fleury has nominated Mr. Rex. Mr. Rex, do you accept that nomination?
I will accept.
Are there other nominations?
I'd like to. Randy Bassett.
Mr. Crawford has nominated Randy Rasmussen. Mr. Rasmussen, do you accept or decline?
I decline at this time.
Okay. Any others? With no other names being offered, I would like to move us to a vote. Mr. Rex has been nominated to serve as president. Do I have a motion for Mr. Rex?
I'll make the motion.
Motion is made by Mr. Danable. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
It is seconded by Mr. Fleury. It is moved and seconded that Mr. Rex serve as president of the board. Those in favor of the motion, please raise your hand. I see seven hands, so that is a unanimous decision. So Mr. Rex, congratulations, and you may take over the rest of the elections.
I want to mention that I really enjoyed the support of the board, and I feel very honored to be even considered for this position. It's It's a thrill to be the president and to serve the rest of the board, which is my job, serve the community and the employees and the students to the best of my ability. Thank you. Are there any nominations for vice president?
I'd like to nominate Mr. Harris.
Mr. Harris, will you accept? Any other nominations? If there are no other nominations, then we need a motion to accept Mr. Harris's position.
I'll make a motion to to elect Mr. Harris to the board as the vice president.
Mr. Boom moves to elect Mr. Harris. Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Crawford seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Clerk of the board. I would like to nominate Mr. Boom to be clerk of the board. No seconds yet. No one else? Then I will also take a motion to elect Mr. Boom.
Make a motion.
Okay, Mr. Harris moves to elect Mr. Boom to clerk. Is there a second?
Seconded
by Mr. Danable. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? No. Trustee representative to the Special Education Council.
I would like to nominate Mr. Crawford, if you would accept.
I guess so. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Crawford has been nominated. If there's no other names, I need a motion to elect Mr. Crawford. Okay. Mr. Harris moves to elect Mr. Crawford. Okay. Is there a second? Mr. Danable seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any nays?
Any nays? Yeah. Well, this is probably the quickest election. If it went next November like this, this would be something else. The next order of business is to set the time, date, and place of regular meetings, and they're listed in the on the page they hear. Is there any discussion or?
I'll make a motion to accept the schedule as printed.
Mr. Harris moves to accept the schedule. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Crawford. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? None. Okay. We need to appoint the superintendent as secretary of the Board of Trustees. Okay. Mr. Harris moves to appoint the superintendent the secretary to the Board of Trustees. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Mr. Fleury seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? None. Okay. Next is to authorize the superintendent and designees to sign warrants, contracts, and other documents. Is there a motion? Mr. Danimal moves to accept this authorization. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Mr. Rasmussen seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
And that brings us to, that finishes the election and brings us to comments from board members. Let's start with our student representative to the board. Any comment you'd like to make, just keep it clean. Okay. Once again, thank you very much for your service. Okay. Okay, Mr. Danimal?
No comment.
Mr. Crawford?
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you all.
Okay, Mr. Boom? No comment. Mr. Rasmussen?
I would just like to thank Madeline for her time also spent on the board. It's very nice to get to see or hear from our student representatives. Thank you very much. The other thing I would like to say is I would like to thank Dr. Todd for our District Buzz newsletter. I really appreciate all of the principals that do their newsletters every year to help us keep informed of what's going on at the schools. And this is a way to highlight some of the things that go on here at the district office. So thank you very much, Dr. Todd. And I, too, would like to wish everybody happy holidays and get some needed rest.
Mr. Fleury?
Yes, I would like to piggyback on that and wish everybody a happy holiday, good Christmas, and joy with your family. Also, I did go to the job fair that was at South Lyndhurst put on by David Jones, and it was an outstanding turnout. The kids were excited. You can see a real excitement and happiness out there. They're involved in their school very much this year, and it was really well-deserved and a great thing to witness. Also, a great presentation from our BOGA again. You're doing a great job out there.
Mr. Harris?
I'd like to thank Madeline for being here and giving the presentations. And I wish the FFA students and the other students hadn't left, because that was a great presentation. And that little fifth grade student that got up, that bowl that they go to, they stand and they do that little presentation like she did. They stand in front of people and they're graded on it, they're judged on it, and it's quite an undertaking for the FFA kids to do that, and undertaking for the Kynoch kids too, because like she said, they come 2 days a week or they stay after school. So it's really, really an involved effort by all the teachers and students and parents at both the schools. So I wish they hadn't left, because I really wanted to thank them for doing that. And I agree with Mr. Rasmussen and that student engagement. You can't pick a better example of student engagement than this. Thank you. And Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas to everybody. I wanted to add to that. The only thing I can add, I agree with everything. That Fortify handout that we got in our board packets, I thought was absolutely outstanding. You know, great for kids, builds integrity and responsibility. I thought it's a wonderful mechanism. Okay. Opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Okay, Marysville Joint Unified Teachers Association, Operating Engineers, Local Union Number 3. California School Employees Association 326 and 648. Association of Management and Confidential Employees, Supervisory Unit. I have no public comment cards. So we'll move on to the superintendent's report.
Thank you very much. Tomorrow will be our first LCAP budget committee meeting. It's hard to believe it's that time of year again. Seems like we just finished that process. But we will be in this boardroom tomorrow from 5:30 to 6:30. Mr. Harris and Mr. Danimal have agreed to continue as the board representatives to the committee. So thank you for that, and I'll see both of you tomorrow night. A week from tonight, we will be holding a special board study session to look at and to begin the development of a long-range facilities master plan for the Marysville Joint Unified School District. That will be from 4 to 5:30, again here in this room. So look forward to having a presentation and then beginning the dialogue to talk about what are the needs at all of our school sites and how we're going to move forward in addressing each and every one of those. Good news, our next regularly scheduled board meeting won't be until January 29th, so we all get a bit of a respite. So not that the work stops here, but the board won't be reconvening. So there will be a period of time where if you get lonesome, give me a call. We'll still be here at the district office. And last but certainly not least, I'd like to wish everyone a wonderful holiday season. Happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, and of course, Merry Christmas.
And that brings us to the consent agenda. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. Public comments. Oh, to the approval of minutes. I'm sorry. Are there any additions or changes to the minutes? I think I have one, actually. I take it back. Okay.
If there are no additions or deletions to the minutes, I make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? And now we move to the consent agenda. Okay. Would anybody like anything pulled from the consent agenda?
I would like to pull number one under maintenance operations and transportation, contract with the National Analytical Laboratories Incorporated.
Okay. What page are we on here?
Page four. Or nine, I'm sorry. Nine.
Okay. Number one. Okay. If nothing else is being pulled, would anybody like to?
Oops, I'll make the motion.
To approve the rest of the consent agenda. Okay. And is there a second?
Second.
And Mr. Fleury. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And that brings us back to maintenance and operations number one. Mr. Rasmussen.
So actually, I was just hoping to get a little bit more clarification, and kind of one of the things that bothered me is it looks as though we haven't done that for a couple of years. And so I guess we're bringing it up to speed, and then we're looking at our maintenance folks to carry that on. So maybe you could just give us a little more update on that, Scott.
Yes, that's right. It's the asbestos inspections, and we had our maintenance director that we lost was who was actually trained to do those inspections. When he left, we didn't have anybody else in-house. Right now, we have two people that we've got set up for the training. So with this, we'll bring it up to a level where we know everything's high and tight, and then we have Travis and one of our other maintenance employees are going off to the training, and we've got the test equipment that we have being tested to make sure that it's all squared away. So it's something right now we're behind. We need to bring it up. We need to be in compliance. So it's something that's a one-time thing, and we'll handle it in-house from here on out.
So after that, we'll have our folks trained at that time to do the six-month inspections.
Absolutely, and we'll do all of the six-month inspections. We'll have the equipment. We have to send it off and have it tested and brought up to par. But I don't think there's going to be a problem with that part. And then Travis and then a backup person will go to the training. We've got the training scheduled now, so we'll bring those guys up to speed, and then we'll do it in-house.
Good. So just one other question. Looking on page 99 at the schools that are being serviced, I don't see the community day school on there. Is there a reason that we don't have to do that, or the district office itself?
No, I'm not sure. I'm not sure, and I'll have to look into that.
Okay.
It should but be.
We should do all sites, is that right?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, if we have students on site, they need to be inspected.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, if there's no further discussion, is there a motion to accept item number one?
I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second.
Okay, seconded by Mr. Crawford. And all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? No. Okay, and that brings us to new business. First item is to hold a public hearing regarding board bylaw 9320, meetings and notices. Okay. And basically the changes are in posting the times as 5:30 instead of 7:30 in the evening. Okay, we opened the public hearing. All right. Okay, it's been moved to close the public hearing. Is there a second?
By Mr. Harris?
Yes,
I'll second.
Okay, Mr. Crawford seconds. Okay, now we have a motion to. Excuse me. All those in favor?
Aye.
And now we need a motion to approve the revision to BB 9320.
Motion to approve the revision.
Hey, wait for a vote. Don't
hold it. You can vote here. Hang on.
Vote real quick.
Okay. All right. We have a motion. Okay. Second. Seconded by Mr. Rasmussen.
Who made the motion?
Mr. Fleury. Okay. Too late. All those in favor? Aye.
That's.
Yeah, that's six yes.
Six yes and one no vote.
Okay. Okay, well, moving on, bylaw number 9322, changes to agenda meeting materials. We're going to hold a public hearing, so I declare the hearing open. Okay, Mr. Crawford moves to close the hearing. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Harris. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Six yes. And one no vote. Okay.
Okay.
I'm sure he has a very important business. Okay. Facilities and Energy Management Department, Resolution 20. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Motion to approve the revision.
Just skipped it. Okay. So, Mr. Crawford makes the motion to approve the revisions of 9322. Is there a second? Mr. Rasmussen seconds. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Six yes. Oh, I guess one no.
No, he's just not here.
Not here.
Recording six
okay. Facilities and Energy Management Department, Resolution 2015-1611. Okay. The purpose of the agenda is to request the board approve resolution certifying the intent to pursue state funding and acknowledging the state school facilities bond program. Okay.
This is pertaining to specifically Lyndhurst HVAC, but any project specifically, we want to be able to continue to pursue state funding, whether it be state match in some form, whether hardship or growth or CTE, whatever is available. It's not ensuring we'll get it. We might get selected and put on a list and funded at a later date or not funded at all, but we do want to put those applications in for the projects that are eligible.
So this is down the road?
No, we're going to pursue the application. Whether we get funded would be down the road.
Okay. any other discussion? Okay, if not, the board will entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Mr. Boom moves to approve the motion.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Crawford. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Six yes.
Seven
yes. Okay. Okay. And that brings us to business services. 2015-16 first interim budget.
All right, good evening. Given that the board was provided with a presentation beforehand, I'm just going to focus on the salient point, so I might skip over some slides, but again, this is the first interim budget update. It shows our results through October 31st of this year, as well as our projections for this year and into the future, two more years. The cycle we've gone over, we're in December. Next month, or even February, depending on when we get the information, we'll be updating you on the January proposal for the 2016-17 state budget. But for now, you can see our revenue. 78% is coming from LCFF. This is our total revenues based on the gap funding percentage, an estimate of 51.52% of the remaining gap. We're using estimates in the future years that are a little bit less of the remaining gap as we get closer to full implementation. But you see a large uptick this year in other state revenues at 11%. That has to do a lot with the one-time money and also money that got moved to restricted for the educator effectiveness grant. Looking just at our unrestricted, which is where we have obviously the local control to spend as we see deem fit, there's been some small changes since adopted budget, which came to you in June. Mostly that variance has to do with LCFF sources, which I'll explain in a little more detail, has to do with our increased enrollment and expected attendance, average daily attendance. And then the other state revenue, that money, a lot of that money moved out and went to that restricted area for educator effectiveness. Our total expenditures, you only see about 75% dedicated to salaries and benefits or people. A lot of that reason is we're doing a large amount in capital outlay and some other operating expenditures on those one-time projects this year. So it skews that down. In terms of our ongoing, it's very consistently close to the 80% we're to, but you'll see a little skewing again because we're taking a lot of money out of the general fund to focus on these facility projects. If you look at the expenditures, we've made some adjustments. Some have gone up. Capital outlay, we started budgeting a lot of those one-time projects. We've made some adjustments for certificated salaries as people come in and go. We've added some in benefits because we had to true up some of the estimates regarding our pension, increased pension contributions for STRS and CalPERS. But a lot of the variance on the expenditures is just budgeting those one-time expenditures. This is really kind of one of the more important slides in the presentation. It really shows the adjustments we've made since adopted budget, how many are ongoing, which means in our recurring expenditures and revenues, so the things that show up pretty consistently every year versus stuff that's one time in nature, and once we spend it, it goes away. A lot, that 1.77 in terms of the increase in adjustments, about between 1.3 and 1.4 is based on an estimate we have of what our average daily attendance will be. Our average daily attendance is determined for the for terms of generating revenue in March. We have a P2, it's our second period measurement. We're estimating that's anywhere between 1.3 and 1.4. We'll find that out in June when we get our final apportionment. But that's really on an ongoing basis. We have a little bit more there, but most of it is due to LCFF funds. Some of the other monies we'll budget as we make some operational changes during the year, but that LCFF gain is a good thing, and that's because of the increased enrollment we have this year. Some of the other expenses are just more of the minutia of going through the everyday business, making some adjustments in some areas. The one-time adjustments, there isn't a lot on the revenue side. We're just adding a couple things, capturing some indirect costs from other funds, mandated costs we actually got, and some increased miscellaneous revenue that we couldn't recognize until we were assured we were going to receive it. A lot of the less, though, on the one-time is facility capital projects. Again, we budgeted all those for Lyndhurst, South Lyndhurst, Covalod finishing the fencing because we did a lot of that after July 1st, and Arboga, the portable project, including your new portion of the path of travel for your new playground. There's some other stuff we still have to outlay on. We budgeted for a nutrition services truck that we have to go to bid on that you approved. Some special education budgets we're still waiting. There's a lot of carryover on the site, both just their discretionary lottery money and also their targeted money, the former EIA money. So we moved some money into educator effectiveness, which became restricted. So there's mostly movement. The gist of it is there's about a 1.9 or so surplus right now, but 1.3, 1.4, that's real ongoing in terms of stuff that we made, and that's an estimate at this point because we don't know where our attendance is going to end up. It's a good thing, though. You can see the components of our NE fund balance. You'll see a lot of it is in the $9.278 million is unassigned and unappropriated, but I will say you might see coming in second interim because we're going to be about 5 years out on those certificates of participation. We'll probably assign some of that unless we find some alternative sources to start paying that. I know it's not until 2021, but we got to start preparing, and we'll have more discussion at that. At our special board meeting, when we have a study session, we start talking about our master planning. We're also going to work on that fiscally, but that's something we have to consider, is that we already did finance and leverage the general fund back in 2012, and we're going to have to start assigning those. So you'll probably see that in second interim because it will be 5 years out. We've got to start planning for that. Average daily attendance, the reason I highlighted that is because that's up from where we were. At P2 last year, our actual attendance was about 8,610. So you see almost a 200 jump. That's estimated right now, and we also have it flat through the future. Right now we're working. We do a projection with SchoolWorks. They take in a lot of the information. We provide a lot of information to them. We're using that for our master plan, but we also use that for our financial planning. So we'll have a better estimate of 16-17 and 17-18 come second interim when we present that to you in March. But that uptick, it will be basically the source if we do have any surplus this year on an ongoing basis. That's what it'll be due to. When we came to the year, we basically budgeted to a point with the LCAP items, obviously settling with the bargaining units, where we were essentially balanced almost at zero. So and we still have to make some operational changes and make some adjustments this year. So again, that attendance is very important, and that enrollment, it's a good sign. There may be some increases in the future. So the 16, 17, 17, we anticipate it may go. We've been providing, again, information, but right now we kept it level at this point, so that's an assumption. A couple other things you'll see. The funding, which is actually the gap percentage, which is actually a little bit incorrect on the 16, 17, 17, 18. I apologize. It should be those prior 30% numbers. But again, those things aren't very reliable at this point. Any multi-year projection, especially now, we don't have a good idea what's going to happen in 16, 17. The governor's going to come out with a proposal in January, and then we'll have a better idea moving forward. There's no guaranteeing appropriations or increase in the LCFF legislation. So I wouldn't really worry about that too much at this point. We do know that those STIRS and PERS rates are going to be increasing, though, so that's another thing that's going to cut into whatever revenue increases we have next year. So when you look at the MYP, we show projections where it's increasing and we have a large surplus perhaps in 16-17 and 17-18. Again, our expenditures are going to decrease because we have the one-time money. We're spending a lot of money on projects this year. But again, very tenuous at best. We'll have a better projection at second interim, and we really don't know what's going to happen in 16-17 and 17-18 at this point. But we'll have a good idea of 16-17 come January. And so you should see it increasing. But first interim projections are very unreliable, but it's honest. 15-16, though, is more reliable if we do actually get that attendance and that enrollment does come down and those kids do attend class and we get that money. That's very good because what happens when you're increasing attendance is you get a lot of revenue, but you don't have to spend as much expenditures, and that goes to the bottom line. So that's why we anticipate that $1.3 to $1.4 million surplus. So moving forward, again, I reiterated the points on what constitutes the budget surplus. And we have some one-time money, too, that's part of that 1.95 that's unbudgeted because we're waiting to see how these projects turn out. Maybe we can do some more smaller facility or capital projects. The one-time money is about almost $4.6 million that we've essentially almost all budgeted. There's still $100 to $200 we haven't. For the Linhurst HVAC, which we had the opening meeting on construction meeting today to launch that project. The Linhurst Quad Gas Line anticipated to be done during the summer. There are Boga Portables Legacy anticipated to be done during the summer. Kovalad Security Fencing, which is in closeout. There's just a couple minor items there. We've done most of that. And the South Linhurst Portables, which we've done most of that. We're just waiting to close. Well, that's basically certified and closed out. There is a $950,000. I talked about that carryover. Most of it is in targeted. Some of it's in lottery. That becomes one time because once they don't spend it, it's available to spend there, and it appears in the general fund unrestricted. But it's one time in the sense that once it's carried over, it's just that once they spend it, it's gone. So it just sits there in a pool. Every year we do replenish that. That's the ongoing portion. And then what they don't spend becomes one time because it's unspent. So we're working toward to build towards the 16-17 LCAP and adopted budget. The superintendent reminded us in a report we're starting that process tomorrow. So with our updated budget calendar, you'll see we're in December now. We're going to have that first meeting, and then I've been meeting with different stakeholder groups, and to the degree that the superintendent can join me, she joins me as well. We met with the district advisory committee. I've been to certain schools. I'm going to be at Marysville High School Thursday morning trying to update them on the budget. Again, it's a fluid motion. Before, when I was giving the stakeholder, I was like, oh, we're balanced, but now because of this increase, this uptick in possible ADA, we may have a little surplus. So we continue to communicate given the information we have at the time based on our adopted budget. January, we'll have that governor's proposal, and we'll either present that to you at the 26th, or possibly that might go into February, then second interim, finish the budget committee, get a preliminary budget, and LCAP may revise, changes a little bit of the estimates, and we bring another budget and LCAP to you and do this all over again. So for us, I think really the gist of it is we're in a better position than we even anticipated when we adopted the budget based on that enrollment increase. Hopefully that materializes in attendance. And moving forward, we were a little skeptical on growth in 16-17 and 17-18 because a lot of the maintenance factor that had been paid back by the state because of the deficits they had to education is going to be paid next year. But we're hearing good things that they may spend more than what they're actually required, so Prop 98 might not be the cap of what we get. So hopefully it's somewhere maybe not as lucrative for the district in terms of revenue generated as this current year, 15-16 and 14-15, but maybe better than what we anticipate. So we'll have that for you in January, and then we'll have an idea on the multi-year, at least for next year moving forward. But this year is going to, again, is already – it's another beneficial term because of enrollment, and hopefully we'll continue because most of our enrollment gain is in the elementary grades, and so we'll have more information as we get that for you. Sorry, yeah. Lots of information, but open it up to questions.
I think I enjoy your optimism, you know, in seeing how much money we're going to have coming in. One of the things that they really stressed down in San Diego was one-time money is one-time money, and that's it. So we don't know how things are going to work out, but
well,
this was a lot of work for you to put together. Thank you.
Well, I'd like to thank Ms. Salia and her fiscal staff. Yeah, we worked together, but a lot of that is carried by her herself, actually, and her staff. And, you know, when we talk about the one-time money, you know, we have 4.6, and you see that. You show there's an unrestricted any balance on these on the adopted budget of $6.66 million. But then as we start budgeting it, that goes away, and you think you have all this money to spend. But once you start budgeting it, it's actually spent, that money goes away. The thing that we've been a little bit lucky, and maybe not a lot of districts in California, they haven't had that uptick in enrollment. So that's kind of a unique situation to a few districts in California. So if we have any ongoing surplus, again, it's relative to our situation. We're actually getting a little bit more students, and hopefully – those kind of things continue, and that really benefits the operations of a school district. But, you know, we're still working on our demographics with our school works, and we'll have more information as we come. But, yeah, I'm a little – it's weird coming from a financial standpoint to be a bunch of, like, well, there's good things coming, and there is, because I was – obviously, I started in school business during the downtime, and it was experienced by this district. So it's – a cautious but skeptical optimism, I guess you could say, because there will be a time where we have to maybe have a different conversation.
Okay, if there's no further questions, we have one. Go ahead.
So just one comment. Our schools are getting very old, and I think we need to really keep that in mind with our facilities plan that's coming up to try to direct those funds to try to keep the infrastructure up and going. So I think that we need to be very mindful when we're looking at that.
Well, we've been kind of going into the facilities things just to kind of segue into our next meeting, but we've been fortunate to get a lot of one-time money, and thanks to the board, we've dedicated that to facility upgrades because that is a high need in the district. But those types of things take millions and millions of dollars of one-time money, not just a few million, I mean millions, based on our needs. And I think when we get done with this process and the board adopts a master plan, you'll see the estimates and how much need is truly out there is millions and millions of dollars. We have the existing debt that's leveraged on the general fund. That's why I'm going to sign that money for those certificates of participation. On the ongoing basis, the budget uptick has helped us because we've put more money into routine maintenance. We're funding deferred maintenance at $820,000 a year. By 2021 school year, we have to be at a full 3% for routine restricted maintenance. Right now, we're not technically at a full 3%. We're funding 3%, and then we're sending some to deferred maintenance. We need 3% for actual routine maintenance. So as money comes in, this is good. We'll be able to do that on an ongoing basis. But that doesn't necessarily provide for that big ticket, you know, modernizing or new construction that we're going to need. So we've gotten a few million, and we're very thankful for that. But as we get into the next meeting next week, you'll see we start and we formally adopt a plan, hopefully by May, there's a lot of need out there. And well, like a lot of school districts, a lot of schools were built when there was growth in the 50s, 60s, 70s. So it's going to be a continuing need for many years for this district.
So, Ryan, I did think I heard you say that tomorrow is our first LCAP meeting.
Our first LCAP Budget Advisory Committee meeting. Which
is that where public and everybody come, or is that?
You certainly can, but you do have two board representatives, Mr. Harris and Mr. Danable, who will be there, but everyone is welcome. It's an open public meeting.
And what time?
5:30. That is an open public meeting to anybody who wants to attend, board member or not. There are committee members who act as representatives for the collective stakeholder group, but it is an open public meeting.
Did I hear you say it's at Marysville High School?
No,
or right here?
It was in the superintendent's report, but it's in this boardroom.
Boardroom.
Tomorrow night. And you're welcome to join us, Mr. Rasmussen.
Thank you.
The following Tuesday is the 4:30, right?
The following Tuesday is the facilities meeting.
The study session's at 4.
Yeah. At 4. You'll have all of these in your Friday packet for the following week, but tonight, if you're coming tomorrow, please be there at 5:30. Right here.
And we'll have even more slides for you. Thank you.
Yeah. Is there a motion to approve business services number one?
Motion to approve.
Mr. Harris moves to approve business services number one. Mr. Crawford seconds.
Is this on?
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Okay, 7-0.
And before you close the meeting, just wanted to remind every board member needs to see Lisa for the signature folder. So please do not leave the room until you've signed your name. Please. Thank you.